Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Rumors spread around in that Texas town about the shack outside the game. You know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you're gonna go to that whole mile. Nice.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. All right. Little local blend music there. All right. Let's check in with Captain Mike Jeffcoat. Mike, good morning. What's up?
Not much, Mickey. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good, brother.
Just about got that honeydew list.
You need to go back to work, man.
Trust me, this is more like work than fishing on day.
I heard that.
No, she got on a mission to get rid of all her sagging palms. And
well, those blooms and stuff that come off of those will kill a dog in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely. You know, because that's like a puppy of mine, you know, that I lost. Everybody, he got in a second palm. You know, every vet I talked to, if it was second palm, he wouldn't last 48 hours. They said it happens real fast when it's a second palm.
Yeah.
And that specialist over at Beaumont, and I think 40 years, he said he got a probably 30 dogs he treated for second palms, he saved one. And it attacks them so hard that just can't.
Yeah, a buddy of mine's Rottweiler did that, and the vet he took him to saved him, but he said this is one out of 1,000, man.
Yeah, it's very rare. I think you got to get to it real quick.
Well, they did.
And makes a difference on it. But yeah, it's not the blooms. It's a, which they don't bloom. They have
yeah. It's those yeah.
The like tulips. There's some little bulbs.
Yeah, those bulbs are those pods off of them. Yeah,
them pods. Yep, that's what gets them. You know, it's not the leaves or anything like that. Which you can't go eat the leaf. No, it's too spiny. So, but.
Well, no, I'm getting a lot of animal problems around my house with all that development out there.
Well,
the wildlife's having to come towards the bay. I mean, they're clearing property like nobody's business. And the other night, my outside dog, that chocolate lab, was just going crazy. My wife's going, man, that dog's out there just barking at the wind. What is wrong with her? I said, there's something out there she wouldn't be barking. And I always keep, I got a little handheld battery powered spotlight I keep on the patio on my table. And I shine it out there and it lit up like a Christmas tree. There was three big coyotes right on the other side of the fence. They weren't even afraid of me. And I'm yelling at them, trying to run them off. And she's barking. It's like they're wanting to fight her through the fence. And then, you know, bobcats, I mean, they're just running out of turf. And hogs, oh, my goodness.
Like, just, you need a silencer.
I've got one, but I'm afraid to shoot towards the road. You know, it's against the law. And then, you know, if they get behind me in the backyard, then I'm launching one towards a neighbor's house, you know, a couple acres over. Right. I'll just... So it's getting bad, man.
Oh, you, this development, I mean, I growed up in the middle of, well, there's 4,500 acres behind our property, and there was right at 5,000 acres south of our property, and nothing east or west of us. For miles.
Yeah.
And everything to the south of our old home place is subdivisions now.
Isn't that something?
Never in my lifetime would I ever figured all that property would have been cleared.
Mine either. All that steel mill property over there across from me and all out through there, that's all commercial development now. You know, all that.
What'd they do with that old steel mill?
It's still there. It's still Rutland's gentle steel now. Not U.S.
Oh,
steel.
It is.
Yeah,
okay.
It's gentle.
I knew it closed, you know, for a short period there, I guess.
Yeah,
No,
it's rocking and rolling.
Well, I'm done.
And you
I got
the
to
big,
go in that place.
Yeah, big Walmart distribution center. And, I mean, that building's almost as big as a steel mill. And
that's
I mean, there's a
place.
Bunch of buildings out there. Floor and decor, I mean, all of it. It's just unbelievable.
Wow.
Just container trucks in and out 24/7.
Hmm. So speaking of containers, I can't believe it's taking them this long to get that ship.
Oh, that's a mess, isn't it?
Off that bridge. That's a mess. There is something going on there. I don't know. Just don't make no sense to me.
A lot of theories.
Well, I ain't trying to be a theory person about this, but I mean,
well, I didn't throw conspiracy in front of that.
Yeah, but
theories.
Come on, I mean, it shouldn't take them that long to get that ship off that bridge. I don't understand why they're having to unload all them containers off of it before they move the ship.
Well, because they were so broken loose, they were afraid they were going to crumble and fall on everybody during, you know, moving that ship like
that.
Yeah,
I understand the front part, but that's the rest of that ship. Them containers are not loose. It was just on the front end of it.
And just
playing it like it's a plague or something, you know. Just come on. Let's get this done. You know, they ain't got the right group working on that. So, anyhow, but that's the world we live in.
Yes. You know, things don't get done rapidly like in the past days we grew up accustomed to.
Yeah, no. No. Yeah, for sure. You know. But, you know, it's just like the roadways. It takes them forever to build something now.
Oh, no. Never stops.
It's just like, did they get that stretch between you and Winnie, or Winnie and Beaumont open yet?
Man, I ain't even been over that way. I avoid I-10 east from my house at all cost. I don't know what's going on down that way. I hadn't been that way in a long time. I avoid it.
I know still last year and the last few years, my customers, they just, most of them was dugging off and taking 90 through Dayton and Liberty all the way to Beaumont just to avoid all that mess.
Right.
It's like at the border over there. They've been working on that.
Oh, didn't they shut a bridge down in Baton Rouge or somewhere over your way?
Uh, Don't know. Couldn't tell you. Ain't heard that one. I wouldn't doubt it.
Somebody sent me a text or something on it, and they wanted me to ask you about it. Well, I just did, but, man, I can't find the text.
I'm like you, you know, I'd like to avoid I-10, but I can't, so.
No,
at least I don't have to get on it until Beaumont, so.
True.
But from Orange.
Is that still all messed up through there?
Oh, absolutely.
Back when we were fishing, Blaine and I were fishing the Redfish Cup, and we'd have to go to, you know, that way going to Florida and everything. That was the biggest nightmare through Orange and all that. And then the highway was so rough, you know, going into Louisiana. I mean, going, man, we're going to bend the tongue on this boat trailer.
Right.
Jeez.
Well, they, and I don't know why, but they come up, they're going to make it 3 lanes. On the Louisiana side now, you know, once you got past Vider, you know, it's been 3 lane for years all the way to Sulphur. But now they're making it from the border all the way to Lake Charles, 3 lanes. And, you know, so you fight that mess at Orange, then you got to fight that mess for, I don't know, I guess it's 10 miles till you get past it in Louisiana now. So. And something else.
Yeah, about that Atchafalaya Bridge. How many times you been hung up on that?
Oh, you know what? Believe it or not.
You had never been hung up on it? Boy,
I have.
Oh, I
have. Oh,
pulling
I
a boat.
Have.
That's, man, yeah. 3 hours.
Yeah. You know, through all these years, I don't think I've got caught, but really hung up but one time, but they finally turned us around. And took us back to the east side of the bridge. I got caught coming west on it.
Yeah.
They turned us around. They opened up that one of them deals they got there, you know, in the median to make a U-turn. And got us turned around and then had to take a big trail from, I don't know what that little town is there, where the Tigers at. Take big trail back north in there and hit it and get on I don't even know what that is. I think it's one or something, and take you back to Lafayette. My God, that's a mess. It is
really
no fun. No, it's no fun. But, you know, they've been threatening, you know, to put them cameras on the bridge, but now they come up with something that's not awful. And it was going to be by time. It wasn't going to be that they was going to check your speed. It was going to be you had to – it takes you 18 minutes to cross that bridge on normal flow traffic. And if you do it under 18 minutes, they'll send you a ticket.
Really?
Yep. But, I mean, they've threatened, and then said that them cameras are up, but they never have. They haven't done it, and they're still fighting it. So, I don't know. And, you know, I get it. That's a dangerous bridge.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and 99% of the 18-wheelers obey the law and stay in the right-hand lane. But you always got one or two of them that don't.
Yeah.
That's who wind up causing a wreck. So, you know, I just put my crews on. You know, it's 55 for them trucks and it's 60 for cars. I put mine on 65, and, I mean, it's just 18 miles, so.
Yeah.
Ain't that big a deal. But. You always got them ones, so.
Yeah.
But, anyhow, well, don't have no big fish report other than it's good when the weather permits.
When the weather permits, yeah.
Permits.
Exactly.
You know, but the wind is so, the problem, I was talking to Brandon about yesterday, and we were trying to get our gator deal lined up, and plus we got the auction coming up here pretty quick, and. Now they're having a problem. They have no buyers and nobody to clean them, and so they don't know what they're going to do. So they might not even kill no gators in Venice this year. So, but And like Brandon said, he knows guys that's had them hides in the freezer for 2 or 3 years now, trying to hold on to them till they're worth something. They're just not worth anything. Yeah. The meat's worth more than the hide is.
Huh.
That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, commercial. So many people got into that commercial raising them gators, so that put a hurt on all of that. But they're going to have to do something. I mean, I guess you're going to have to do in Texas. If you own waterfront property, you know, you can kill one. But they're out of hand. I mean, it's unbelievable. You take over in that river bottle. I'm trying to think how many tags they let us have last year. Like 15 or so. I think we had 15 tags that, you know, everybody puts in for a lottery on it, and not everybody does it.
Right.
But the whole deal of it is here in Texas, and well, it's the same thing in Louisiana. If you don't feel that what you allowed, they'll give you less tags next year.
That's right. They take it away from you.
Take it away from you. And so, but yeah, that river bottom's got so many gators in it. That Trinity River, you can go down there on that, on them sandbars on that river at nighttime, shine a light. It ain't nothing but solid red eyes.
Lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Well, I got to roll out of here, buddy. If somebody wants to give you a call about coming over to Venison Fishing, give them some info, man.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting Fishing.
All right, buddy. Go Strolls. We're on a roll.
Did we win last night?
No, we lost 12-8. Beat up another pitcher. All our pitchers we got right now are going to be shell-shocked. It's bad. All right, buddy.
It's unreal.
All right. We'll talk to you, Mike. Have a good day. Good weekend. Right. Later.
You too.
All right. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 520 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down to G-Town. Let's check in with Captain James Plogg this morning, see if he's got a fishing or a golf hangover this morning. Plogg, what's up?
Yo, buddy, what's up?
Hey, man. You there?
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're here.
Oh, man. I came out here looking at the tide. It's gone. It's gone.
Did it ever come back in yesterday with that high tide?
Man, here's the deal, dude.
I didn't even look at the bay here. All I did was look out across it, and it was muddy as coffee creamer. And
It sucked. You know, I hate days like that. You know, give me some wind and some rain and some clouds, and nobody fishing, and I'm happy. But right. I had this master plan.
Oh, boy.
Or I'd have canceled. I hate that kind of stuff. Because I knew it ain't going to be no good. But, and I was wrong and I was right. So, you know what we always try to do? I try to beat the fish to the spot. If you can be there when they show up before everybody comes and everybody knows you're there, you can have some really good days. I beat them, but. They were all babies, man.
Uh-oh.
We had to just leave. They were there. It didn't look like nothing was there. The water got beat up the day before, but, you know, we could have caught all you wanted, but I don't think there was – I mean, we don't kill any fish anyway, but there was – I don't think you'd have caught one 15 inches. I mean, I think you could have caught 50, and I don't think you'd have caught a keeper.
Yeah.
So that hurt me.
Now down in preschoolers and kindergartners.
Well, you know, they may be the first ones there, you know. And then when the sun actually got, you know, I got in the boat to pick my guys up, I'm looking at the water. I said, well, it really ain't very good. I can't believe we're catching anything, honestly. So it's probably good. I might have been a day early or a week early. But so anyway, now I got to backtrack. And it's terrible. I think total week. Oh, I just had Mike Rowland I think we caught four. And,
yeah.
And I went to where I know there's millions of them in a really small spot. And I had, I think Mike had a bite, didn't catch nothing. And I had two bites on top waters in the mud, caught 2 3-pounders. And it sucked. But I knew it was going to suck. But I was hoping my first big master plan would work out. But it didn't. I mean, it did, but it didn't. I mean, we all had a bunch of bites. It was cool, but no bueno.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, the current ran so hard yesterday. It ran way past when it said it was high tide. But it's the same deal, Mickey. It's when you empty all these marshes out, it's got to blow 2 or 3 days like that for the water to come back. One day, and the wind was kind of northeast in the morning, and it was due east.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I came in way past what your chart said is high tide.
Right.
And it had them buoys laid over, man. But it didn't go nowhere. I mean, it come in some, don't get me wrong, but
I got you.
Now you're on a negative pull at night, so, and it was pretty calm last night. I mean, it finally calmed down. That east wind blew, man. After about 8 o'clock, she caught another gear, buddy. And it got
yeah,
nasty.
I'm telling you. It always does after these fronts, man.
Yeah, it was, you know, east 14, 15, you know, just – it was just, you know, and then I did some other off-the-wall stuff. So, you know, some stuff, you know, by some deep water or whatever. But it wasn't no good. I knew it wasn't going to be, except I really thought where I went would be good. I said, man, I'm going to pull the rabbit out of the hat right here. But just wasn't meant to be. Little ones. So,
yeah.
That's what I got. But it's April. That's what you get. I mean, I've had really, really good fishing. I got nothing to complain about.
No, for April, there's been some decent days. Really has.
It's been good, dude. And then
we've seen Aprils back when we had millions of fish that way worse
terrible
than this.
Yes, sir. You're exactly right. So I
remember those days. Golly, you just want to just beat your head up against the side of the boat, going, man,
yeah,
what do you do?
And you know you're throwing at them, you know, most of the time. And, you know,
yeah, you're standing on a flat, man, chunking every lure you got in your box with millions of slicks popping all day and get one bite here, and an hour later you get another bite. That you know, that'll drive you to drinking, man.
That ain't no kidding. But I wasn't too surprised about yesterday. So I wasn't, I was disappointed because my deal didn't work out, but it went like it. I was surprised. That's what I told Kenny. I said, man, I'm just to go do this deal over here because I don't think it's going to be no good. It just, man, I burnt some. I almost run that boat out of fuel yesterday. That's hard to do. I asked the boys, I said, hey, man, how much fuel we put in the boat?
Huh.
Oh, James, 36 gallons. Damn, man. I got like 40 usable. And I was
really
still going, man. I was still going. And Mike said, hey, man, I got to go to Houston, dude. We got to go home. I said, okay, good, let's go home.
Well, that's good. You may have run out.
I guarantee you, bro, because I had another master plan, and it wasn't gonna be good, I promise you.
It wasn't good for 4 gallons.
Oh, man, and I couldn't even call nobody, because if somebody runs out of fuel, you're just stupid. And
closest I ever came is back when I had that big hydro sport. It had a 200-gallon tank in it, and I came in from offshore. And I slid into the yacht basin, and after we cleaned all the fish and everybody left, I pulled over the fuel dock and filled it up, and it held 196 gallons.
Mm.
I had 4 to play with for those 20.
Hey, man, when you had that boat and them old two-strokes back then, 200 gallons, that's just a hill bank trip.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I was doing, hill bank, and then, you know, to the southwest a little bit and maybe out to – you know, A70 or whatever, and hey, the big loop.
And then you're out of. And you're
oh
out of
boy! Yeah.
Oh man. So, I don't know. It's nice this morning, but I ain't going. Oh, that postcard sunny. I can't stand that, dude. This time of year is terrible. Then everybody's running aground yesterday. And
were they?
I just shake my head. You know, if you're fishing in April and you're going to go at 7:30 and quit at noon and try to drift around in the low tide. Don't ask me why you're not catching no fish, because you're not ever going to catch anything like that. It ain't happening, man. I mean, no. I told a guy the day, I said, look, let me help you out. He said, man, I just ain't catching nothing. I was running. Then he turned around and running with me. Did I tell you this story already? He said, man, I just ain't, you know, it's just bad fishing. I said, look, man, it's bad for everybody. What did you catch? And I told him what we did. I said, man, I left at 5 o'clock. Got in about 2:30, 3. We caught 17 trout and red. Oh, my God, what a grand. I said, well, if you ain't willing to do that, don't go fishing. I said, wait about 3 weeks, and the birds will work, and you can go catch something. I mean, you know, it's not easy. Now, if you're happy with going in your boat and maybe getting a fish or two.
Man, everybody's so spoiled. They want instant gratification.
100%, dude. This stuff we're doing right now is hard. It's not easy. You know that. This ain't like going to HEB, man, rolling up there and just picking out some fish and going.
That's it. It's not like Sea-O-Rama.
I mean, I wish I could tell you something different, but if you want the truth, there's the truth. Like today, man, it's dead calm. There ain't no water. That current's fixing to rip. I don't know where you would go.
No. It's down.
I mean, when I tell you it's low.
South, southeast, and anywhere from 5 to 9 across the board.
Yeah, I can see a little bit of ripple on the lake, but right here in the canal is, and I'm telling you, it's a little over 2 foot low. And you got a pretty big
It could have been
swamp.
Worse. You could have been playing in the Masters yesterday in that blow. Can you believe that?
I don't even enjoy watching that. That's even hard to even watch.
Well, I like to watch world-class athletes, whether it's, you know, golfers or, you know, fishermen or whatever, in conditions like that, and just see how they cope with it. And it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Look at the big names that didn't make the cut, man, like Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman, Sam Burns, even Victor Hovland. He laid an egg.
Victor Hovland was terrible. All the live boys,
he shot like an 81 yesterday.
Yeah, he was terrible. I think he did shoot 81.
Justin Thomas, he looked like he was going to make the cut, and then he ended up, you know, wigging out and shooting a 79. So did Sergio. It's crazy.
Well, my guy and I, he plays golf too. And I said, man, look up and see where Tiger, because I knew he teed off at like 6 or 6:30 or something. And then we saw what he did. And, you know, luckily he got to play his, well, I ain't telling you nothing, but he played his holes kind of before the wind got stupid. Now, the last 18, his actual second round he played, he dealt with some wind. But like he said, I know where to leave it, man. You know, I know.
Well, there's not anybody playing on that course that knows it any better than he does.
No doubt. Hey, he thinks.
How about that? 24 straight cuts he's made at the Masters. Every time he goes out, he breaks some kind of record.
That's crazy. And here's what he said. This is how good he is. His mindset is kind of like us fishing the tournament. Hey, man, I'm not but 7 back. So
that's right.
Let's roll. And he believes it. He can do it. You know, if his body held up to that, he can play 2 more days. If he can do that.
Well, he was, you know, about midway through his second round yesterday. He was starting. You could notice that leg. He was limping, and it was bowed.
He was.
Looking.
See, I didn't get to see. You know,
he was flopping that foot, and it. Man, what determination to play through that kind of. You know, he's hurting. You know, the pain's got to be terrible.
Dude, there ain't even no question about it. There's no question. And,
you know.
Hey, he's been through everything that life can throw at him. He's been through what golf can throw at him. You got to tip your hat to him. Like him or not, you got to tip your hat to him. It's unbelievable. It really is. How about them knuckleheads down there in Port man, wherever they're at. I think there's like 3 or 4 20-pound stringers of trout.
There's 4 above 20 pounds, you know, on trout.
Yeah, that's pretty good. We're getting some bites down here.
Yes.
Well, I think a lot of maybe fishing on that end, because I talked to some boys that all that from Bath and all the way back to the – I don't know about to the south, because I don't know that much about it, but I know to the north all that water is no good. not that you can't catch one in it. It just, the water's not very, not no good. So I guess they're fishing maybe north, but maybe not going as far north as they were fishing.
I don't know, but that was a good day. There were some big bites. There were some toad sacks.
How many eights?
I saw two on the top of the leaderboard, but I think there might have been three.
Three. That's good fishing. Kid that I used to take his dad fishing, and he fishes with me a little bit. Some good kid. He knows all the hounds. He sent me a picture of kid that caught one. I don't know where he was at, somewhere down there, and it's a true giant. I don't know how big it is, but it's a true giant. It's, I don't know if it's 10 pounds, but it's probably a Twinkie shy.
Really?
If anything, I mean a real one. So some good fish around. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that big trout stringer yesterday, Stutes, Rudolph, and Lukert, 22-35. Had a 829, a 780, and a 626.
Hey, you roll in with 22 pounds, you can go ahead and write that check out. You can write it in blue or black, it won't matter. Just go ahead and write it out. That's
and then,
strong, buddy. Gosh, dog.
Kovar, Lively, and Ojeda had 670, 739, and a 734. They had 21-43. And Barton, Jordan, and Sweeney, they had like a 619, 765, and a 701 for 2085. And that Mock, Gentry, and Schnabel. Schnabel had a 802. There's another eight.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, that's you got to fish where they're at.
You throwing around a 7-pound average, that's pretty strong, brother. I don't care where you be on the moon, or I don't care where you're at.
Exactly.
That's really good.
Yes, sir.
So we'll see. They got to do it again today.
Yes.
So, man, I'm just glad they ain't got to play in that wind today. That was the same front we got. You know, you and I watched the front go through there.
Right.
And they got the same wind we got, but it'll be down for them. Like that, like you said, man, putting that wind on that course yesterday, that's going to be like a blow dryer, dude. When you hit that green.
Oh, how about them greens holding balls today, man? And, hey, I've been watching the Masters a long time, and to watch sand blowing out of those bunkers like that, that's big time.
That's insane, ain't it? I'm like, gosh, dog. It even got hard to watch. But, you know, Scotty, he don't even flinch, man. He's comfortable in his own world. He's just doing Scotty things, you know?
Yeah.
He don't care. If you're going to beat him, you're going to have to come get him. I mean, he's not – I don't think he's going to wait.
He's going to go away. You're just going to have to go get him.
Exactly. You think Bryson can get him? Who do you think is going to get him if anybody can get him?
I'll tell you, I can't remember the last time I saw DeChambeau play this kind of golf. That guy's something else, man.
Me either. You know, he kind of got to be a sideshow, you know, when he got real big and, you know, trying to hit all. But, you know, he's looks like a regular dude now.
Well, he's real scientific into the game. Let me knock this break out. We'll come back and talk some more. I'll be right back, James. All right, buddy. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. They're located right in downtown Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. Go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. Check out their smoked sausage samples. They have those available daily in their store. You can try it before you buy it, see which blend you like. And they have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And their ground beef specials, check that out. $3.59 a pound when you buy 10 pounds or more in a 10-pound bulk pack. And you can actually take a quarter or half calf and pre-order that and have it custom processed. And their wild game processing, they do that year-round. They never close that. And check out their Vinny dogs and hog dogs, homemade hot dogs using your venison or wild pigs. And the Belleville Meat Market's celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. 541 here in the Bayou City. All right, James, we're back, man.
Yo, man. Hey, I was sitting here looking at the back of my boat. I said, man, I got something hanging out of my prop. Hey, I got about 10 miles of braided line stuck in there. I'm just going to take the prop and everything off.
Uh-oh.
I just said, what is that? It's like, I see it up in there. It's like a lot of it. Like,
I hope it ain't cut the seal.
I don't know. I don't know how long it's been there. I just happened to see it. I just saw it sitting here.
Why do people throw that in the water? What, have they lost their damn minds?
They just don't care. Or, yeah, I don't know.
Hey, I lost two lower units in one day because of that. And I sucked it up in there over at Fat Rat. I went straight from my house as fast as I could get to Fat Rat Pass. Slid in there, and we walled them out, and I'm about halfway across East Bay, and boom, lower unit goes down. I said, oh, no. So I just trimmed her up, and I was running on one leg up and one leg down, and I got around Smith Point and got about halfway across Trinity Bay coming home, went down with another one, both of them, lining the props, cut both seals.
Yeah, this is, I don't know how long it's been there, but I'll take it out and cut it out of there. I'm glad I saw it.
People are nasty, man. They just, you know, they just don't respect the resource whatsoever.
Man, I hate trash and I hate line. Throw it in the back of your boat, man.
Man, I've come in some days after you have one of them kind of trips and you open the hatch up and you got enough line in there to weave a Navajo blanket. You know, that we always put that line under that hatch there. We're throwing the beer cans and stuff in. Put all your trash in that hatch. That's what my live well's used for, is a trash can. That one in the back on the left side.
Yeah, but, just throw it in there.
But, you know, I just don't understand people.
Well, I thought
they talk all this environmental stuff and green energy and all this stuff, and they throw garbage in the bay. I don't get it.
Hey, I can't even, if anything flies out, I'd go dip net it up. If I'm running and I see trash.
I will. I'll stop and go pick it up. Exactly.
Just to get this guy's water bottle floating out here, least I can do. You know, I'm not going to drive by it. Yeah. Oh, man, this is nasty. This is bad. I got two. This ain't good at all. No. Oh, well, I'll get it out of there.
Well, that'll give you something to do today, James, you know?
Yeah, and, that's what I need to do.
If you see some oil leaking down that prop shaft, you can call your old mechanic over there and get him on it. Get your seal job.
I just send it. We'll just change oil, send it. Let's roll. Oh, man. Dadgummit. Oh, well.
That's what hit me when I had my Mako and I had to use your whaler that time. You know, prop shaft seal went out, sucking fishing line up in there. And I was using your boat, and I forgot to take my net out of my Mako and put it in your boat.
Hey, y'all's hand grabbing 8, 9 pounders. Hey, I was in gas.
I'm hanging over the side grabbing 7 and 8 pounders. We never lost a fish. I think we had like 27, 28 big old giant trout that day. I tell you, see, I had old Raz and all his crew.
I know, and I was in Guy's Hydersport, and we lost some of ours. We didn't get all of them. We got some, but we didn't get all of them. Yeah, your old stuff was broke down. Hey, remember that day we sunk your old Mako there at the pens?
Remember I anchored up off the back, and boy, that big old ship wake coming there, and I looked down there, and I said, man, my boat's sinking. That wake went all up in my boat, and I went over there, and, man, everybody's tackle boxes. Remember them old Umco tackle boxes? And
they were all floating around.
And ice chest were floating. I got up in there and spun her around, turned to Bill Joan, and, hey, I jumped back in the water and came down there with y'all, anchored up off the bow like I should have done to start with.
Hey, I was anchored up on the back end. It was last year. And I was fishing this place that I found. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but it was good, man. Dude, it was money.
Yeah.
I had David Carroll and somebody else. And it wasn't very good that day. But it was rough. but no big deal. But the, you know, the toes kept coming by, and I'm fishing, man. I'm trying to catch something. I look back there, and my bow's kind of like sticking up in the air. I said, "Hey, man, I gotta go. I'm gonna go get the boat." They were. I said, "I'm gonna go get the boat." Well, I get back there, and it's sunk. It's on the bottom. All my stuff is floating. Their stuff is floating. So I finally get there. I just stepped in the boat because the transmitter thing's underwater. And I had to drive around for like 30 minutes. Hey, my bilge pump finally got so hot it quit working, man. But I'd already pulled the plug.
Right.
And it, I guarantee you, it may have not been 30, but it was for sure 20 minutes driving around out there. And I pulled it there. And he said, "What in the hell are you doing?" I said, "Dude, we were sunk, man. Had to clean us up."
Said, "Man, our dad's loving us. Look at that. He's driving off."
Oh, and the, you know, of course, David, he wants to get them. Well, he wasn't getting nothing, so now he had to stand out there and watch me drive around for 20 minutes not catching nothing.
Draining the boat.
Draining the boat. I've sunk that boat twice. I sunk it once in a tournament, and then I sunk it that day. Oh, man.
You fished long enough.
I'm like you. I should have come off the bow, but, man, this is a real skinny spot. So you got to be careful, you know, if you got to put off the bow because you're like 8 foot of water, and you got to make sure, you know, that you ain't going to swing off of that ridge or you're done. So I just come up there from the back end, get right, put it out. And it was right on the edge. I shouldn't do it. But I said, "Nah, we're fine." But every time a tow come by, I made a wake. Well, it started filling up a little bit.
And, oh, Lord.
And finally, I went down. It's all right. You got to have a little excitement, man.
Well, you fish enough, you do stupid stuff. It just, that's how you learn, I guess.
Well, that's how we try to teach everybody. All this stupid stuff, I've done it all. Done some of it twice. That tell you how stupid I am. Done some of it twice. Make, you know, luckily, I always told Cameron, man, you're going to make a lot of mistakes and just hope they don't kill you.
Right.
Then you can learn from them. You know, don't let them take you down.
I got you.
I talked to him. He's got one more charter, and he's coming home. I got to go pick him up. I got to pick him up on the 28th.
Oh, cool.
Sliding in. Then they instantly, I think he's coming in, and then I think they're leaving that night, taking the boat to Louisiana.
Wow.
I think he flies in from Costa Rica, gets on a boat, and they leave and go to Louisiana.
One night layover, man.
How about that? Not even.
He's living the dream, man. He loves what he does. It's the fruit don't fall too far from the tree, man.
Hey, that'd be pretty cool if you catch you two or three blues in Costa Rica, fly home, jump on a boat here, and go pop you one in the Gulf of Mexico. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, they don't get no better. All right, buddy, we'll throw them out a number. Right, somebody wants to go to the bottom with you.
All right, bro. 409-771-7306.
All right, pull our old boy Scotty through today.
I'll check with you in a little while.
All right, later, man. All right, now let's jump the bridge. Let's go check in with Sharky Marquez. What are you doing, Michael? Tell me something.
What's up?
Well,
what's cooking, good looking?
Y'all rigging up and baiting up and getting ready to rock and roll?
Well, heck yeah. We got the whole crew out here. The boats are looking nice and pretty. Got the rods all decked out, rigged out. We fixing to go get bowed up, buddy.
Bowed up. I like your attitude.
Well, I fished yesterday, man. It was a pretty interesting day.
Was it?
There was the water was gorgeous at the jetties, and you know, one of those days where you pull up, you think you're just going to absolutely crush it. And, man, I started making some calls, and everybody's like, "Man, we got one, we got zero, we got one, maybe they got two." You know, the water was right. It was pushing right up into the rocks where I liked it. And, I was like, "Man, I'm going to have to make a move," you know.
Panic mode.
I fished it like 30, 40 minutes, caught one sheep's head. I'm like, "Oh, buddy, it's time to go." So, I was looking at the water, and I was like, "Man, I'm going to go hit Pleasure Pier." And, you know, when that water's nice, you know, up on the beachfront, Pleasure Pier can be on fire. So I go ahead, you know, the old flagship or whatever. So I go ahead out there. Boy, it's like emerald green water the whole ride over there. And I'm pulling up to the pier, and it's like chocolate milk, dude. I'm like, you got, and that's a long ride, you know?
Yeah, it is.
That's a haul from the tip of the South over to the yeah. pier, you know? So, you know, what do you do? I'm thinking, golly, it's milk brown.
Well, we're here. Let's fish it.
You know, I mean, I'm thinking that. And then I was like, well, yeah, exactly. We're here. Let's fish it. Then we got these jet skiers ripping up under the bridge, like, you know, 20, 30 miles an hour driving straight up under the bridge, which I was like, God bless. I think that's a little bit crazy, you know, with those pilings and stuff down there. Oh, but anyway, yeah. So I was like, well, I mean, right where I was going to fish too. So I was like, well, I'm not going to fish it. So I get on my GPS and start looking at some contours, and I find this little kind of like a dip about a mile and a half where just it looks like that ocean floor, kind of like there's a horseshoe. You know, where some, two different tides have met over, you know, two different, I don't know, water movements, and it's created kind of like some kind of a contour on the bottom.
Right.
I said, shoot, we're already out here. And it's, mind you, it's crystal clear. Well, you know, it's green, nice, emerald, beautiful water, like right off this thing. So I drive out about a mile and a half and run my down scan. This thing is lit up like a Christmas tree, dude. I'm like, holy smokes. You know, we're out there. At this point, it's not light tackle. You know, it's going to be heavy tackle. But we, man, we start dropping lines and just absolutely wrecked the redfish.
Wow.
It was awesome, man. It was awesome. They were hitting crab, shad, a little bit of everything. Everybody on the boat caught a big red. And then one, you know, I mean, doubled up a couple. I mean, it was sweet.
Yeah.
So then we ended the day fishing, you know, some little spots around here in the bay, and ended up catching some pup drum and a couple sheep's head. But Jetties was not on yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see with this wind what's going on out there today. But we'll see, man. We're just going to get out there and fish it.
Well, maybe it'll be on today.
Here yeah, today. I'm thinking about heading straight back out to that little honey hole I found yesterday. But it's going to be a little bit more windier today. But I'm not seeing, you know, it's windy, but I'm not
seeing. It's supposed to come up. They're calling for it to come up. But right now it's down, you know.
Yeah, the flags are kind of chilling. And
yeah.
I mean, I was expecting 20 miles an hour this morning. But it's nice and still out here this morning.
Well, you'll know when the sun comes up good. That's usually when it does, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll make a beeline straight out there and try to get boat up into some big fish to start the day, and then come on back and do some light tackle. That'll probably be my game plan.
Right. Well,
but we're looking good, man. Everybody's loaded down, ready to go get them.
A lot of people don't. At least you got a plan.
Well, it sounds good in my head.
Yeah.
Is it going to be worth the dang? Who knows, you know? That's fishing. That's fishing, brother.
I know it.
I know it. Well, we're excited about AJ season opening back up, and you
yeah,
know, in May.
That's the buzz going on now. They're going to give you all May for AJ, so.
It'll be nice, man, especially to get out there, start catching, you know, shoot, AJ, if you're AJ fishing, you're far enough out to start catching some grouper and, you know, beeliners and all kinds of fun stuff. So,
right.
It'll be good to kind of get out there pre-snapper season and what's going, see kind of what's going on.
Well, all you need is weather, you know, hopefully.
That's it.
You know, we're so due for a calm May, you know, like we've had in the past. Because, man,
May's
such
be
a
nice.
Great month. If, you know, if you can get the right conditions, man, those fish are just, they, you know, all that pre-spawn stuff going on the trout inshore, and it just, it's a good month if you can get the conditions.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. That water's warm enough. And
sure.
I mean, it's a good month inshore and offshore, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's just you got to have the weather.
It's just good all around.
Target what you're going for. So, all right, Sharky. Well, I'll let you get to it, man. Y'all rock and roll. Y'all light them up today. Throw them out some info if they want to do some booking.
Thanks, buddy. We'd love to have you guys. Hop on our website. It's outcastfishingwithnogcharters.com. You can check out our trip packages, pricing, and availability right there on our website. We'd love to have you guys out, get you booked up, hooked up, make some memories. And, yeah, man, come lodge with us. He'd come stay in our lodge, walk right downstairs, hop on the boat, go fishing. all within a minute from the time you get out of bed. So you can't beat that.
That'll work. That will
all right,
work.
Stud.
Sharky, y'all have a good day. Be safe, buddy.
Good luck to you.
All right, man. Later. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break, national anthem and all that. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.